Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're glad you're here for some awesome listener questions, including a great question from Emily down in Atlanta talking about upgrading her free dining package. That's right. It's that time of the year. She got quick service dining for free, but she's talking about going standard or even splurging and upgrading to deluxe. How do you do that? Stand by for this answer and more on today's podcast. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days2Go, WDW. Days2Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone 7 Plus, and I can see that we're down to 59 days to go until we check in for a nice long stay down at Walt Disney World this summer. We're inside our FastPass Plus day. We're making those fast passes. We're getting set. We're going to have a great time in Toy Story Land and celebrating the 4th of July at Walt Disney World. You can get excited as well, just like I am every time I get a call, post to social media, or receive a text. I see how many days I have to go. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Please bookmark that site on all your devices, your desktop computer, your mobile devices, and use it anytime you go to Amazon. It really does help support the show. It costs you nothing extra. You'll get all your Prime benefits, and it is an easy way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. So bookmark it today. We're over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1,323 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and the newly relaunched MagicalMouseRadio.com, which is pretty awesome. We're on the upswing again. Still not quite live 365, but 10 bajillion times better than it's been over the last year. So check that out today, MagicalMouseRadio.com, and we're glad that you're here. It's Friday. We're going to have a great time talking Disney, answering your listener questions here on a Wednesday as we do. If you have a question, send it in to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get that in the queue and answer that for the good of all, and have a great time. So joining me today, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And Ricky, you know what it is here in Flowtown this weekend, right?
Valley of Flowers!
That's right, it is the Valley of Flowers weekend, the biggest weekend, the biggest little weekend in North County.
I miss the Valley of Flowers so very much. It's just, there's just something about that weekend because it's the weekend of spring. So it's just so much fun. I totally miss Valley of Flowers. That's one of the things that I wish I could come back for, but nope, not this year. So
oh well, you're not missing much. I mean, I liked it when I was a kid. It's kind of fun, you know, to walk through and see our town and its celebration. I know we've had BOGP listeners. Pete came down from Chicago one year for the Valley of Flowers, and showed him a good time. And,
I miss the baklava at the Civic Center, though. Yeah. That's the best. I love the baklava from the Civic Center.
The baklava and the beer garden with the fights at the fairgrounds.
Yes. So there you go. Gotta have a beer garden with fights. I'm just saying.
And so. I'm just saying, this weekend is also Cinco de Mayo, so you got Las Fuentes backing up to the fairgrounds, so there could be a bloodbath this weekend. I might not even go over there.
It's very dangerous, yes.
It is. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, freshly returned from an amazing Universal and Walt Disney World work trip, business trip, but also a little pleasure on the back end. What's up, Pam? How you doing?
It was a pleasure to be with everybody. We don't get to do that very often, so that was kind of fun. We got to do, I will say, Universal and Disney both treated us both very well. They treated us, had lots of fun stuff for us to do. Got to tour the ships, the parks, the resorts. Oh my gosh, how many resorts did we see? So anyways, it made me, like, every time I was at a new resort, I'm like, oh, I like this resort. I want to stay here. And then I'd be another one. I'm like, but I like this one too. So anyways, lots of fun.
So we're going to talk about that on Friday. So stand by for that. I can't wait for that, you know, because there are lots of pros. But I mean, as a fan, there's also lots of cons to the stuff we did. There were a lot of things. It was like a punch in the nose, you know, even though, like, you learn about this stuff. It's like, this is awesome. We get to do that. Oh, yeah. You only get to do it for like 10 seconds. You know, it's like, oh, what? Whatever. I'll do it for a week. But anyway, so we will talk about that on Friday. Today, we are here to answer your listener questions. Let's get to the first question and pop that one up here on the screen. It is from Jeff. He says, a question: with the new parking situation, if we have a car at our resort, do we get free parking at the parks? If so, then do we do anything special to get that? This is my first time renting a car. So, Ricky, speak to Jeff about, you know, when you have a car at Walt Disney World, when you have the parking fees, just give me the answer on this one.
Yeah, so you're totally fine. There's no parking cost for you if you're staying at the resort and going to the theme parks. So the parking is included, or free, I guess, just to say, as part of that. So you're good there. Now, I'm guessing that they scan your Magic Band. It's been a while. I have an annual pass, so I just always show them my annual pass when I go through. You'll just notify them that you're staying on property, and usually I think they scan your Magic Band, and you're going to go there.
Yeah,
you're going to be just fine.
I mean, I think people are worried about the parking fees, but it's always, when you're a resort guest, you get free parking at the theme park. So that hasn't changed. But I know it's like they're charging us to park our car at the resort. So I think some people are thinking, well, they're trying to get us at the theme parks too. But
yep. Nope. You're good there. No extra payment at the theme park. Just parking at the resort. No.
Not yet. All right. So that's
don't jinx it, Mike.
I'm not. All right. Let's go to the live Facebook chat. We love having folks tuned in live here joining us as we record the podcast. Thank you to everybody who's carving out a little time on your Monday night. We do this usually about 5:30 or so Eastern every Monday night. Stacy says, just got back from Pop Century, the last value resort for me to visit, upgrading to Boardwalk in August. I'm excited to try a nicer resort. What should I expect? What room requests should I ask for? Pam, I thought this was a great one for you because you are a fan of Boardwalk. I am as well, but you have more experience over there.
Yeah, so one of the things I will say about the Boardwalk is, depending on where your room is, those halls can be very, very long. You can be located a very long way from the elevator lobby there. In fact, we joke about this, but you're pretty close to like the Swan and Dolphin.
Yes, some of the rooms,
like, you can reach out and touch some. I'm just saying. So you're like, should I take the stairs at the Swan and Dolphin to get to my room somehow? No, I mean, it's not quite like that, but... anyways, so if that is an issue for you, and it can or cannot be, you know, I think sometimes it's nice to be further away from like the lobby and the hubbub and things like that. So that's something to consider. If you want to be closer to the lobby, go ahead and request that. I like to request a room on a higher floor. That's a personal choice. And it's just because if I'm on the top floor, then I don't have somebody above me. And that, I think, keeps the room a little quieter. Not that, honestly, I can honestly say at Disney, I haven't typically had any problems with that kind of thing, the noise or things like that. But that's just what I typically ask for. And plus, I think you get kind of a nice view of that. But then some people really like to be on the ground floor because they like being able to have that patio area where they can step right out and sit there. So that's something to think of, too. The Boardwalk view is actually a view that you pay for. If you want that, you would have to book that. If you just booked in a standard view room, you're typically not going to get that. And other than that, I think it's, you know, all the rest are just little things that you could tweak here and there. But those are my suggestions for that.
And I love our chat room because Eric, who's tuned in live here, says the Boardwalk reminded him of the Haunted Mansion. Endless hallways, expected to see a floating candelabra at the end. So there you
yes.
go. Point for Eric.
Yes,
I like that.
I see that. It does. Sometimes you feel like you're going on and on.
And then you turn a corner and it's a beach club's the same way. You turn a corner and you're like, oh my gosh, there's another hallway twice. Animal Kingdom Lodge is another one. Like, you hit those little corners with the windows. You're like, oh yeah, I made it through the end. Nope. You're like a quarter of the way to your room.
No. And the Boardwalk has a limited number of elevators too. So, and actually the Yacht and Beach Club do too. I think the Yacht and Beach Club actually have more than the Boardwalk, but love the Boardwalk. You know, here's something that I will say about the Boardwalk. As soon as I walk in that resort, it has a distinct smell, a really good smell. Like, it's sort of spa-like, not quite spa-like. There's just something about that. And the Yacht Club has one, and the Beach Club has one too. They all have a distinct smell. And that's something that sticks with you for, I think, a long time. And every time I smell that, I'm like, oh, I'm home. And you know you are. So I think the Boardwalk's a great resort. And actually, I don't like to say that because, you know, I don't want my Boardwalk availability drying up there. But the Yacht and Beach Club get all of the talk because of the pool. But the boardwalk's in that same great location. I mean, within walking distance to both Epcot and Hollywood Studios. So it's a great space.
And for those that are tuned in live here, you can kind of see I'm getting the Cabana Bay over at Universal candle smell here. And Ben can appreciate that. I got, I think Jocelyn sent the whole crew Zest bars in the mail. I got this on a Sunday. I told my wife after this got delivered, she's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't think I ordered anything on Amazon in the last couple of days to be delivered because it was in a Prime, you know, little envelope. Right. And I'm like, man, I don't know, maybe a ball cap? She's like, it's not a ball cap, it's too heavy. So I said, she's like, open it up, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. So I opened up at Zest. I'm like, oh, Jocelyn got us. Because I know Ben got a 20-pack because I took all the Zest while we were there. So apologies to Ben.
Oh, no.
Mike was a toiletries hoarder.
I was.
Yes.
That's why you go to your destinations that you love. All right, next question's from Nicole. I believe she's out in Indiana. She says, never flown. Can I have bug spray and sunscreen spray in my carry-on? I get in super early and will leave my bags in Bell Services and would want to have some for my first day. You know, I'm still a nervous. I'm not as much a nervous flyer when I get in the plane. I just don't want to get tased by TSA going through. So and you know what? When I left, I was so like in a rush. I can't believe I didn't get tased leaving Orlando after the race on that Sunday. I left my belt on and I went through and they didn't say anything. Can you believe that? Like I got through and I'm like, oh my God, I reached down and my belt was on. I'd already gone through the machine that gives you the bzzz. I was like, oh my God, my belt's on. I'm sorry. And they didn't even say anything. I'm like, oh, I thought I was so getting slammed on the ground because I wasn't trying to trick them. I had my shoes off and everything, but oh my God, I was so nervous. But anyway, Ricky, do you know the rule on that? Can you take on sunscreen?
I think it still has to be the 3 ounce thing.
3.4 ounces. Yeah.
So I know that I've done because I flew one time and I wanted to buy some sunscreen. So I've bought sunscreen in the, you know, the travel aisle, you know, where they have all the travel size stuff. So I know I bought sunscreen. And I'm going to suggest this is something that you could potentially look at. They have bug spray wipes. I would maybe consider that for the first day, or you can try to see if they have a, you know, 3.4 ounce bug spray, but the bug spray wipes might be an option. Also know that you can potentially find like that liquid bug spray, that like lotion type bug spray that around the resort, the parks. I think that they should probably have those out again once the summer comes out, back comes around. But if you want to make sure that you have it, definitely like consider either the wipes if you're looking for the 3.4 ounce.
That's one of those things, that's one of those things I've learned over the years is that you can buy a lot of that stuff when you get there and it's not that much more expensive at the resorts. You know, I think a lot of times we think that when you get to a destination, because some things are, you know, like they'll get you in the airport for some stuff, you know, that costs like twice as much. Well, I mean, right. You know, Walt Disney will get you for a soda, you know, for $3.50, where you can buy, I can buy a 12-pack of Coke Zero for, you know, $3.54 at home. I mean, that's just the cost of being on vacation. But sometimes, you know, like I had a headache when I was down at Universal and I bought some like Excedrin migraine and it was like $9.99, but at home it would have been about that same price. So I think they don't get you really on the toiletries kind of stuff. So I might just pick it up.
Yeah, probably not.
No, and the other thing that you can do too, I know, especially at our airport, once we go through security, there's actually a full-on Rite Aid there.
That's nice.
And once you're through security, you can buy whatever size you want. The issue is just for any liquid spray, gel, anything like that, it has to be the 3.4 ounces and below, and it has to fit in your one bag that is containing all of your liquid items. So make sure that you watch that. I will say I am one who typically gets bit up by just about everything when we're places, and it doesn't happen to me at Walt Disney World, very rarely. The bug situation down there, they do a really good job controlling that. So
I'm the same way. Who'd have thought though? It's Florida. You know, it's kind of crazy.
I know.
All right. It's not Ricky. This is a question from Marie in Virginia. Mike, Ricky, and Pam love the podcast. We enjoy staying in the know with the Be Our Guest. Well, we love that. Quick question. We are a family of six, two teens, a tween, and an elementary student. We're DVC members and have been blessed to visit Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and other DVC resorts 10 or more times over the past 10 years. We're a bit obsessed and love how Disney keeps our family close. My question is for an upcoming trip in December 2018, the week of Christmas. Should we focus on dining reservations and resorts and avoid the parks, or plan some park time? Which park would be the best for Christmas Day? Even as veterans to Walt Disney World, we're worried about the crowds, etc. Any help would be great. Love the show, Marie. And Pam, I thought this was a great one for you because you've been in the situation where you go down. I do too. You know, we go down that week between Christmas and New Year's and stay there for New Year's Eve and, you know, marathon weekend and so forth. The busiest week of the year. You can still have a great time due to FastPass Plus and just a little planning, especially this week. A little planning goes a long way. So give Marie some advice. You've been there, done that. What should she do?
So I would not avoid the parks. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to do that. Even, you know, during the busiest days of the year, as long as you're arriving at opening time, you're still going to see really reduced crowds. And if you don't want to be there at opening time, no problem. Because guess what? Now Disney has FastPass Plus. So you can make your FastPass Plus arrangements for when you think you'll be there. I mean, are you going to find rolling fast passes like you might on, you know, at the Magic Kingdom on a day when there's not many people there? No, probably not. But will you be able to get your three done? Yes, you certainly will. And you'll be able to do some of those less, you know, those attractions that you can walk on to most times. You know, remember your attractions like the Tiki Birds and, you know, the Country Bears and things like that. You'll be able to see those and take advantage of those. The other things you want to make sure that you see in the parks during the holiday season is all the fantastic Christmas shows. If they're doing the Christmas parade, you want to make sure that you see that. If there's any other fantastic little Christmas things going on, the fireworks, of course you'll want to see that. So those are all things that are really worth going into the parks for. Now, I also am absolutely going to advise to make sure that you schedule some time to just enjoy your resort. I mean, for me, that's one of the huge parts about enjoying my vacation. I love the Disney resorts. I love the pools. I love the activities that they do with the resorts. I love the atmosphere of the resorts. You know, there's something about laying by a pool on Christmas Day that isn't too bad. I'm just going to say, in the whole scheme of things that aren't awful, laying by the pool on Christmas Day is absolutely one of them. So take advantage of that. But I have found in my experience that Christmas Day isn't typically that the busiest day of that time. Christmas Day is typically kind of lower in crowds, and then the crowds sort of build in between Christmas and New Year's, sort of culminating on New Year's Day. So take that into consideration too. But go and enjoy. I mean, plan a day to enjoy the resorts. They're all beautifully decorated. Even if you just see the ones on the monorail loop and then the Epcot area resorts, you're going to see some great decorations, but every single one of them pulls out all the stops for the holidays. So enjoy.
And remember that the Christmas Day special does not actually take place on Christmas Day. So don't go out on the curb in your jammies and expect to see that. That'd be a shame. But it is magic how it is. It is live on TV, but it's just if you're there, it really isn't. Anyway, AJ is up next live in the chat. Hey, everyone. I was wondering, relatively speaking, which one of the races at Walt Disney World has the lowest number of participants? I'm considering running in one, but would like to start off with the least intimidating crowd size. Thanks. All right. So that's a great question here by AJ that he poses. So I'm just going to take a guess here and say, if I was going to run my first race, I'd either do Star Wars or Princess. I would avoid Wine and Dine. That one that one sells out quickly. I think it's actually sold out at this point for 2018. I forgot what year we're in. I've been worried about 2019 so much lately. I don't even know what year I'm in anymore. Am I still in 2018? Yeah, okay. It's just May now.
We run a quality podcast, people.
It's like my brain is not in the present. It's always in the future. Exactly. So anyway.
Exactly. 60 days, 180 days.
It's not May. It's like the middle of summer to me right now. Or at least, you know, if I'm talking cruises, I'm talking the middle of 2019 already.
That's
so anyway.
Right.
So right. Yeah, no, what I would recommend. So I just talked about last Friday. I talked about my experience with Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon Weekend. And it was such a pleasant surprise, such a great experience. It wasn't oversold. You know, in this instance, your mileage may vary in this situation, but, you know, you could sign. I signed up just a couple weeks before the race, which was so nice because I didn't have to commit, you know, 9 months in advance as you usually have to do. I decided at the last minute to run it, got down there. The crowds weren't crazy, but everything was run Disney. The expo was great. There was lots of photo opportunities. There were lots of vendors at the expo. The races, the medals were amazing, and the races were not overcrowded. There were lots of characters with the 501st on the course, Disney's characters. It was everything I wanted out of a Run Disney event without all the crush and the massive crowds. Now, Marathon Weekend has massive crowds, and it's fun, and I love that for a different reason, because it's just like you get caught up in it. Like, you go to Marathon Weekend for that reason, that it's just runners everywhere. There's no shorts longer than 2 inches allowed on property for like 6 days. Everybody must wear sneakers, and but it is kind of a blast. But I would say Run Princess or Star Wars. Ricky, I mean, you've done some of the events. I mean, and you crunch the numbers, you write about the races. Would you say that's your best bet? Which one would you do if you're a first time runner, Princess or Star Wars, if it was up to you, if you're in that situation?
I think crowd wise, I think Star Wars is the better option, just overall from what I've been hearing. Princess still gets a little busy. So, I would look at, I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people forget about Star Wars sometimes. So I would do Star Wars. I think it's a good race. And you said the course is much better than what it was when I ran it. So I think Star Wars is the one that I would do.
Yeah, they nailed it. I mean, we got to go through 3 parks in a half marathon. Yeah. I mean, we got to run through Pandora. I mean, you were through Hollywood Studios in a blink. You went down Sunset to Hollywood and you were out. But I mean, you know, it was still a good time. So I love that course. It was pleasant. So yeah, definitely try Star Wars or Princess would be your kind of fallback, I would say. All right, lots of great questions in the live chat. We're so glad to have so many people tuned in. Rhonda is asking, if you were to book a Walt Disney World and cruise combo, we call that the old land and sea. It's kind of like a surf and turf, but it's a vacation. let's see here. What would you recommend for the number of park days and length of the cruise? Parks before or after the cruise? Rhonda, you just hit the question that gets everybody riled up. Why did you have to ask that one? There's not a right answer to that one. But I always say take the cruise second because you get to relax a little bit. The ship is not as big as Walt Disney World, but that's just my opinion. Pam, you've done the land and sea, the surf and turf many times. What say you to the perfect length for a vacation like this?
Golly. 2 weeks, 1 week. Right? Is that one of the options? Because one of the options, that one wins.
Yeah, I think that's what Mike Bankhead was doing. You go through the Panama yes. Canal, then you take your time crossing the country to come home. Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, he really had a great vacation there. That is a great vacation. Gosh. You know, I would do, is there a length of cruise that they're doing?
It doesn't say, but you know, what I like to think is that most people tend to go down for approximately a week, give or take, maybe all 5 to 8 days. So I would say definitely go with a 4 or 5 night cruise, right? You don't, I mean, the threes are,
that's what I was gonna say. The three is too short.
It's too short, yeah.
It's way too short. I'm just saying, like, you haven't even finished. You haven't even figured out the ship. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I have to get off. I'm not ready to get off. So do 4 or 5 days and then do 3 nights at the park. So, like, extend your vacation. Fly down on a Friday. Come back not on that Sunday, but the following Sunday. You know, even if you have to work, you know, during the regular time. You know, during the week, you can still squeeze out like 8 to 9 nights if you really have to. And that's what I would suggest, just so you feel like you get the best of both worlds and you get a little taste of both.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, either one's fun because here's the pros and cons of having the cruise at the end. At the end, you know, you can kind of sit back and relax a little bit. You're not running around quite as much on the cruise as you are at Walt Disney World. But if you do the cruise first, then when you get off the ship, you got all the fun at Walt Disney World to look forward to. So there's really not a right or wrong answer. Ricky, well, if you had to pick, would you do the cruise first or last when it comes to a land sea?
So I would do the cruise first. And as someone who has had to go, because the last podcast cruise, I had to go from the cruise basically back home and it was awful.
Wait, hang on. Said Trumbo. Wah, wah, wah.
Exactly. So, I mean, that was terrible. So I would definitely do it the other way of cruise first, Walt Disney World second, because then you at least have, you know, when you get off the ship, you have a couple of days of extra vacation instead of, okay, I'm off the ship and now I have to go home. So
when you get back in port, man, that is just a punch in the nose.
It is such a punch in the nose. So
it's not as bad. It's not as bad, though, as touring the ship and having to get off before you even get to eat a bite of food. I mean, my stomach growled for a week because
I mean, I appreciated it because I got to see the ship. But I appreciated the live viewing of it. But
I was dying.
Yeah.
dying.
I wish I was on the ship.
Oh,
but
no, you don't. It was so hard to get off. I almost stowed away in somewhere. I don't know where to go. The concierge lounge. If I'm going to go big, I'm going big. Anyway, so let's see. Stephanie's got a great question. Ricky, I think this one's good for you. Have you heard anything about Wine Bar George or Jaleo? I don't even know. Opening in Disney Springs. Is it?
Did I say Jaleo?
I thought it might be like Heleo or something. I don't know. So what's up with those operations?
It could be. I don't know. So anyway, Wine Bar George is supposed to open this spring. There's no official date as of yet. I've seen lots of things indicating that it's coming sooner rather than later. So that's good news. But nothing concrete. So stay tuned. It could, by the time, you know, our luck, by the time this actually goes live on Friday,
it's been open for a week. Yeah, it's been open for a week. This is Wednesday show.
Yeah, exactly.
Too.
Exactly. So yeah, or Wednesday, I guess I should say. This could open, you know, tomorrow. So anyway, yeah, I honestly don't know. As far as Jaleo goes, that's a little bit longer of a delay, I think. It's not anywhere close. They're still building it. So I've seen construction supports and everything like that. So they're not even close yet.
What is Jaleo? I know what Wine Bar George is. It's a wine bar for a guy named George, but what's Jaleo?
Yes. It's another, you know, celebrity chef who's opening up. I believe it's kind of like Mexican inspired food.
You got my attention.
Yeah, exactly. So you get there.
It needs to be open for this weekend, Cinco de Mayo. They need to get cracking.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're not even close to being ready for Cinco de Mayo. So unless you'd like to eat outside al fresco with construction beams all around.
Everybody, instead of a sombrero, you get a hat. You get a hard hat. So there you go with your baby. All right, let's fire through some questions. We need to pick up the pace here. Quick question. Zach says in the chat, we have 10 people and an ADR for Yachtsman at 9:05 p.m. First of all, I can't imagine eating a gigantic steak at 9:05, but good on you, because whenever you can get in, you got to get in. I've never been there. I got to do that. But I've had the Gico steak and life is better. I'm just going to say my life is better because of that steak. We'll talk about that on Friday. We had to book 2 reservations for our party size. Will we be seated together or how will that work? So Pam, we do this a lot with the podcast stuff, because we'll be like 43 of us and we'll have 7 different reservations. Florence is great about doing that for us many times. So how does that work when you have multiple reservations so you can accommodate your party size?
So what you'll have to do is ask when you arrive at the podium. I know that they'll try. Sometimes it's possible and sometimes it's not. There's really no way to predict that in the future if you can't get one reservation to accommodate your whole party size. So just try when you get to the podium. And even I'll point out, we do that a lot. We eat in big groups and it's hard to talk to, you know, even if you're seated at a whole table that accommodates 10. Once you get past the few people that you're sitting by, you can't talk to those folks down there too. So even if you have to break up, it still works out okay.
And you'll see each other again. You will see each other again after the meal, most likely, unless you get in a fight.
You'll go on.
You will go on, just like Illuminations. All right, Mark, you're killing me. Mark Yerk says, hello from the Disney Dream. Question.
Mark.
I know.
He's making us all jealous.
Oh, I know. I love Mark. Question. Is there a realistic limit to the number of soft serve cones an adult can eat on a 4-night cruise? Ricky, what's the over under on Mark eating soft serve from up there on deck 11 aft?
I mean, if you really want to go for broke, I mean, I think like 20 a day is a lot. I mean, they're little, you know.
Why don't you try it out for us, Mark, and tell us what you're
doing? Exactly. Yes. I think he can handle that for us. So you may be sick after 20 little ice creams a day, but, you know, I think that sounds like a good plan.
You can do it, Mark. We have faith in you. You can do it. That's why you're on the cruise. All right, Sandra, my good friend from church, says they've spent Christmas Day at Walt Disney World 3 times. They've loved it. We do the Magic Kingdom on Christmas Eve and Epcot on Christmas Day, and she says it is doable. Todd chimes in, Chef Todd, for Storytellers in Epcot. So, yeah, I mean, it is doable, especially now in the Fast Pass days where you don't have to go chasing the Fast Passes. You book them 60 days out. So good stuff. All right. Let's see here. Let's see. I'm trying to get some more questions from the chat. We got so many. Let's see here. Bjorn says, I don't have another trip for another 2 years. What do I do to pass the Disney waiting time without resorting to majorly getting sad? So I think this is true of many, many Disney fans. You know, you're lucky when you have a trip on the books and you can count down to it and you can get excited for that. But sometimes we have those lulls. You know, we have to buy a house or you got to buy a car. You got to go away to school and you can't have one on the books. So, Ricky, what do you do when those times hit? Because it's not so much anymore. You're closer to Walt Disney World. You're at a place in your life now where you get to go more. But, you know, there were those stretches, you know, 5-6 years ago where you had 2 or 3 years. You had to kind of kill the time. So besides listening to the Be Our Guest podcast, what do you do to pass the time?
I listen to lots of podcasts. So there's that. But Be Our Guest, of course, is the best, doll. But you already know that. You're listening to us.
Yes, you're live. I mean, yeah, exactly.
I, of course, watch or read a lot of blogs. I read a lot of blogs. I play on social media all the time. That's a good way to get connected. A thing that I'm doing to get connected for the cruise that I am taking here in September is going on YouTube, watching lots of YouTube videos of other people taking trips and stuff like that. That's been a lot of fun. You know, just that's really what I've been doing a lot of, honestly. It's just reading a lot and soaking up as much information as I possibly can.
Yeah, so, you know, we don't have to do that as much anymore because, like, right. All three of us have a job that requires us to be, you know, heavily involved with Disney, you know, 15 hours a day at least. You know, it's like we're always in it. So
another option is, of course, you know, Disney movies. I mean, gosh, it seems like every other weekend there's a new opening for some Disney-related movie now that they've got Marvel and Star Wars and Pixar and, you know, everything. So, you know, you've always got a Disney movie you can go see, too, I think. It feels like lately.
And shout out to Bjorn listening over in Denmark tonight. We appreciate that. That is so amazing. So, actually, it's probably the middle of the night or maybe tomorrow morning. I don't even know. It's a long way away, and I'm just trying to get supper on a Monday night here soon. So good for you. Maybe you're getting ready for breakfast. We appreciate you, Bjorn, and hopefully those 2 years pass quickly, and maybe we can cross paths down at Walt Disney World. That'd be amazing. All right, Mandy has a question. Do room discounts for annual pass holders ever coincide with run weekends? Pam, you know, typically you got to have excess inventory to trigger a discount in most cases, and run weekends are popular. But, I mean, what do you say to Mandy's question here? She's one of our great lizards.
There have been, lately it has not worked out that way. Room discounts just haven't really coincided with run Disney weekends because they just haven't needed to. There are always exceptions to the rule. We've had for January 2019,
yes,
we had a good room discount for that. We actually sold all of them and are in the process of negotiating some more with Disney. We'll see what happens with that to try to help bring that cost down for folks. And then the other thing I think to just, you know, I think that as we move forward with Disney, and a lot of people aren't going to want to hear this, but we're going to see those discounts disappear. So start looking for ways to craft your vacation so that you can afford to stay there at the rates that are being offered by Disney at those times. So just start moving in that direction because I think we're all going to need to. By the time Star Wars Land moves around here, there's not going to be many dates that have much availability. And that's a good problem to have, right? As in Disney's eyes, they're looking for, you know, ways to increase their attendance and have guests stay at their resorts. So I think they're going to be able to do that. The good news is that Disney has some really, I think when they say value, I think they really do a good job describing those resorts. They offer a great opportunity for value. You get to stay on Disney property, have all those advantages, but stay in one of the Disney value resorts. And how about Pop Century now? And how great does that resort look? So anyways.
Yeah, I like that they're focused on that. You know, they're bringing,
yeah,
of course, you know, Pop Century doesn't cost what it cost 10 years ago, but either does anything in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like I think the problem with us long-term Disney fans.
It's not that much more though, either.
It's not, but I mean, you know, when you think about it, like I think that, you know, like right now I'm looking up on my bookshelf above where I'm recording here and I got the Walt Disney World Guide for Couples 2002-2003. You know what? So, I mean, I've been a Disney fan for quite a while. So I can look back and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, the values used to be, you know, $62 a night. Well, you know what? Nothing costs what it did in 2002. Yeah. And you get more for your money now. I love that they're spending they're being, you know, very forward thinking with those Pop Century rooms, you know, bigger beds and more flexibility for families staying in there. You know, a couple can stay in there and have a table, you know, or you can have two beds, you know, or you can kind of use it, you know, in the afternoon you can do that, in the evening you have the beds. You know, lots of things to charge your appliances, your phones, your tablets, your computers. You know, it's just they're investing in those resorts like they are the deluxes. So I like to see that because I'm somebody. And, you know, like you said, Pam, I think you're exactly right that people are wanting to get to Walt Disney World. It's out there more. I mean, I had a guest today email me that, you know, they're getting excited for their Disney cruise coming up in 2019. And she just sent me a message saying her 3-year-old was watching Disney Junior today and they put Disney Cruise Line commercials between the shows in Disney Junior. And I'm like,
exactly.
I said, okay, well, so we were having a conversation over email. I said, think about that. Because her kid was getting excited because she gets to go on Mickey's boat. I'm like, that is so cool that your kid's getting excited for that. But I mean, I said, how smart is Disney? Because if you have a 3 or 4 year old, a preschool kid watching Disney Junior, the parents watching it too. You know, like, right? I mean, the kid's not in there watching themselves when they're 2 or 3 years old. So yeah, Disney knows what they're doing a little bit, I think. So they're going
to
be all right.
Yeah, it is. So if like the cost is the most important thing to you, then you're going to want to travel during a time when kids are in school. There's not a run Disney weekend. You know, it isn't traditional vacation time. There aren't major holidays, things like that. If that's the most important thing to you, because those will typically be the times where there are discounts available. So,
and a huge shout out to Donna in the chat because she is our preacher at church's wife, and she's a huge Disney fan and also a gigantic Las Fuentes fan. After church, we go to Las Fuentes and have our Mexican food. It's a great Sunday. So she's down in Dallas visiting family. Hello to Donna. Mark's asking, speaking of Pop Century, got a great question here in the chat. How close are they to finishing all of the rooms at Pop Century? Pam, we visited there on the AEP, and as far as I can tell, well, Ricky, you might know this too, the 80s and 90s are done. The 70s are maybe all done. In the 60s and 50s are the only thing remaining, I think. Ricky, what do you know anything for sure on that? I think it's just 60s and 50s.
I think they've said officially the date for the refurbishment is supposed to end is summer, 2018. So I honestly haven't heard a final date anywhere close besides summer. So,
Pam, have you heard anything? Sorry. Have they given you any extra info on that?
No, they're getting close. I mean, most of the buildings are done. They're not all done, but most of them are getting done. But there's not, I mean, Disney will not put an official end date out there for things like that. It just won't happen. So,
all right, let's get to Chuck's question via email at mike@brguestpodcast.com. Hello, Mike. My family is going back to the world in August. We're staying at Pop Century. Pop Century is very popular today. we intend on upgrading our tickets from our package to annual passes when we get there. My question is, if I make Fastpass selections 60 days out on my current package, will I lose my Fastpass selections when they convert me to an annual pass? Appreciate all that you and the ladies do. Chuck and Stella are in Baltimore, Maryland. All right, Pam, so we've done this many times. I do this every time to kind of defer the cost, you know, build in the cost of tickets into my package, then pay the extra when I get there to upgrade. Mm-hmm. No problem at all. So give them some peace of mind here.
Yeah, there actually isn't a problem. It's actually a great way to do it. You want to look at, typically you're looking at the 10-day hopper to put you close to the price of the cost of an annual pass. So go ahead and build that into your package price. Book your package with that. Then as soon as you get there, you'll want to go ahead, stop at guest services. You can do it as a time that's convenient. You don't have to do it first thing in the morning when everybody and their brother's standing in that line. And you won't want to do it late at night either after the park is closed, because that's not a great time either. Do it sometime during the day when you're coming in and out of the parks and you see that guest services isn't all that busy. Just stop by. Let them know you want to upgrade to an annual pass. The thing to note is your annual pass renewal date will be the same day that you first use the pass. So if you use it first on April 15th, that 10-day pass, then your annual pass, of course, will expire April 15th the next year. So yeah, don't enjoy.
You always think you're going to get a little extra time, but yeah, Disney knows they're pretty smart.
They know.
All right. All right, last question of the day. Save this one for a special one. Susan's got it. Hello, BOGP crew. Greetings from Petoskey, Ohio, just 191 miles from Pam, 433 from Mike, and 585 from Ricky. Do you know how to say it? It's Pataskala, Petoskey, I guess, Ohio. I have a huge favor to ask of you friends. I was hoping you could help us out in a special surprise for our kids. So get ready, Pam. I think Ricky drop it. We'll try to get her back in here if we can. We are surprising our kids with a trip to Disney at the end of May. Our son Tommy is turning 10, double digits, and we're celebrating big. Could you please help us break the news? I was hoping you could join us in wishing Tommy a happy 10th birthday. Also, could you let Tommy and Fiona know the good news, the bad news, and the best news? All right, Pam, here we go. The good news is you are going to Walt Disney World. How cool is that, Pam?
Those are the words I want to hear. Mother's Day's coming up, my family. I hope that's what I'm getting.
That's right. So you're going to Walt Disney World. Have a great time, Tommy. Happy 12. And Fiona, you get to go too. Bonus for you. So here's the bad news. We have to drive down. That's not that bad. I mean, I drove for like 10 years. Pam, is that really the worst news ever?
No, absolutely not the worst news. First of all, bring some car snacks. I suggest peanut M&Ms, but I mean, everyone has their own thing. Cheez-Its are also a bonus, I think, for some reason. Bring car snacks, bring games, bring things to do, bring a book to read if you can. I think bring movies to watch, and that time will go like this. And pretty soon you'll be on your way to Disney World, which is a heck of a lot better than riding in the car to most other places.
Yes, it is. All right. So we've given the good, the bad, and here's the best news. Get ready. Tommy, hold on. Hold on now. Be ready. Fiona, watch Tommy. You guys got to hold hands. Ready? You're holding hands? I'm getting ready to give you the best news. You're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge for the first time ever. Pam, it took me to be like awesome. 42 before I got to stay at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. He's doing at least 10. What's going on?
What other resort can you stay at where you can go and see giraffe and wildebeest and Ancola cattle, all kinds of fantastic animals right there from your resort? I mean, there's nothing else like it. So go and enjoy. It's absolutely one of my favorite resorts. And here's what you got to do as soon as you walk in the lobby. Drop your bags, drop whatever you're carrying, let your jaw drop open, and just take in that beautiful lobby because it's awesome.
And you know what I saw, Pam, when we were there the other day, because we did tour Animal Kingdom Lodge one night, we went over for a visit, was... And I think this is going to be great for Tommy and Fiona, is that they have a lot of programming itself in the lodge for the kids. And while we were there, we saw this cast member that was from Africa. He had kind of a tom-tom drum, and he was leading a group of kids with different percussion instruments around the lobby. And then as we were leaving, they were sitting in a big circle, kind of in the, you know, the entrance to the resort there, and playing on the tom. Everybody had an instrument, and he was giving them lessons on some of the animals and the wildlife of Africa. Did you notice that when we were leaving? Because I thought, man, yeah. If I was a kid, that would be so cool to be able to do that and interact with somebody really from Africa. That was really neat.
It is. They have such wonderful staff there. And if you take the time to spend a little bit of time with them, they're awesome. They want to talk to you about where they're from. They're knowledgeable about the animals. They're knowledgeable about the lodge. They're knowledgeable about the animals that are native to their country. They want to share this information with you. That's why they're there. And they're so great. I've seen them do stuff like lead the kids around with musical instruments in a parade, do great big rubbings of some awesome pieces that they have on the floor at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. They do a tour where they talk about the different pieces of artwork that are around the lodge. They have bead activities where you, like Mike was talking about, where you earn the beads for attending these activities. And then you get to make like a bracelet or a necklace with those beads. It's really kind of a cool way to do that. There's just so many great things about Animal Kingdom Lodge. I know you're going to have the best time ever.
Yeah, it's the best of Disney. When I saw that, because it was kids that didn't know each other, you know, like probably siblings, but also, you know, it was probably about 10, 20 kids, but they're all getting, you know, to meet each other and learn, you know, maybe where they're all from each other, then interact with the cast member, and you get to take home kind of a something you earned, like you said, like the little badges and so forth. So, Tommy and Fiona, enjoy this trip. You're going to have a great time. Susan, thanks for listening. Thanks for letting us break the news and let us know how it goes. That's I can't wait to hear about this trip. It's going to be amazing. I'm so jealous. You know, my birthday's in November, just so you know. So, and I won't be 10, but I'll be 10 times a bunch. So anyway, that's going to wrap it up. We can't top that. So we're going to wrap it up right here. We're going to get you ready for Friday. But don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. If Ricky hadn't dropped suddenly, I don't know what happened. I think her cat bit through her internet connection line or something halfway through the show. She's gone.
It's that orange cat.
It is. It's a mean one. But anyway, you know what? You can find out about Wine Bar George and all the great information you need on Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app. It can help you turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Great apps over there from our friends at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, you can also support the show by using our Amazon affiliate link. It's simply brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks to everybody who's using that. We truly appreciate that. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. So come on over for that. And we're going to get back together again on Friday. Friday's going to be one you don't want to miss because we're talking about our agent education program. I went to Universal and it was kind of fun, actually. So we'll talk about that. I was impressed by the resorts especially, but we'll dive into that on Friday. So make sure you are back here in just about 48 hours. We're going to have a great time talking about that. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.